What is your name? God was unlike the gods of the other nations. He was not Baal or Asherah. He was not like the God of the Mesopotamians or of the nations around. He was God without a name, a God who could not be named, the God above all gods, the God who ruled and reigned over all things, over nature and the sky, over rivers and seas and clouds and nature, but ruled over people as the God who had breathed life into them. Who shall I say sent me? Asked Moses, before a bush that was burning but was not on fire. And God spoke and said, tell them, I am sent you. I am the one who is, who was, and always will be, the God who was in the beginning, I am, the God who is now, I am, the God who at the end of the ages that are to come is, I am. The God before whom all else is undone. The God who was before, who is now and ever will be. The judge who sees perfectly. The Savior who calls and rescues, who invites into relationship. The God who splits a sea to make a path for a nation. The God who opens rocks that water might pour out. The sovereign God who acts and cannot be challenged. Who is it that sends me, says Moses? I am. 15, 16, 1800 years later, a man would stand on a hill. I am the bread of life, he'd say. He isn't introducing himself like you sitting next to someone you don't know this morning, and they say, who are you? And you say, I'm Andy or Jane or Jeff or whatever your name is. He's not introducing himself. He's not handing over a business card. He is shaking the foundations of creation. I am the bread of life, says Jesus. He's making a claim over every aspect of life that they had, every aspect of life that they could ever have. Jesus says, I am, and lives and acts and dies and rises again to prove that all that he says is true for them and true for us today. I've eaten bread out of the packet lathered with tasty butter and jam since being a lad. I could tell you more about bread than is probably healthy for me to know. Not just because of the sermon this morning, but because I love it. Are you feeling hungry this morning? Probably because of the bread maker in the corner wafting out the smell of bread this morning. I've had bread for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner, supper, and even middle of the night snacks, as is plainly obvious. I've quaffed croissants in France, bagged a baguette in Belgium. I've had Graubrot in Germany and pizza in Italy. I have shared bread over dinner in Africa, rice cakes in Japan, roti in Malaysia. I've eaten bread with the poor in Fiji and South Africa. I've sat in villages in Vanuatu and eaten bread baked in ground ovens on stones. I've enjoyed the finest of breads in high-class restaurants around the world, even here in Auckland. And I've had Māori fried bread filled with ice cream from Giappo in the center of town. And that is amazing. Bread is basic and fills a void in every point of life. There are places and times where bread is a major food in any day. Did you know that in 19th century London, I bet you didn't know, but you're about to know, that 19th century London, the smallest loaf of bread you could buy, because it was the staple of every day, was 2 kilos and cost just a few cents. That's my kind of place. The people of first century Palestine were no different. Bread was their staple diet. They needed it to live in every day. It was the first thought for filling hunger. It reminded them of their humanity, and Jesus would show them their need through bread of his divinity. When the disciples said, teach us how to pray, what's the prayer he puts first? Give us this day our daily bread. Let it be the symbol for all that we need, all that we have. When God used Moses to rescue the people from slavery in Egypt and to lead them to the land that he had promised, he provided bread for them every day, every morning, fresh from heaven. And it was called manna. In the local vernacular, manna means, what is it? They'd walk out each morning. What's for breakfast this morning? What is it? You know, that's what I'm asking. No, it's what is it? 40 years, they couldn't come up with a better name than what is it? The mystery and the marvel of every day. What is this stuff that God provides for us and to us to fill our hunger, to keep us going, to remind us that he is the one leading us and providing for us? 40 years of wandering through a desert, a daily sign of God's provision for men and women like us with rumbling stomachs and watering mouths. That smell of bread really is driving me a bit mad. In John 6, the people are again in a desert place to meet with God, to meet with Jesus. He's led them by himself, walking not through water this time, but over water. He has walked across water like it was no big deal. And they have followed him into the desert. And at the end of the day, someone has said, Lord, they're hungry. Send them away. We can't feed them. Jesus says, you can't. What do we have? A few loaves and a few fish. Then distribute them. But there are thousands of them. Break it up. I'll give thanks. Pass it out. Get them to sit down in groups of 50. And we'll share it around. Can you imagine the look of incredulity and of real wonder? What is going on? The bread and the fish go out and there are 12 baskets left over. The people meet with Jesus in this desert place and it's like the last 1,500 years had hardly happened at all. People listening to God's word in the desert and grew hungry, and so Jesus had fed them like it was no big deal, like somehow he could order creation to be different than it normally is and it will just obey. Funny that. In John 6, Jesus does as though it is an everyday event, something which is so miraculous and marvelous that if it happened today, it would be world headlines. Are you hungry? How are you feeding yourself these days? That day, that crowd, a hungry crowd, had eaten their fill because of Jesus' miraculous provision of bread in the desert. All their needs would be fulfilled, and they did not have to work for it at all. The next day, they came back and said, sir, give us this bread always, because then we don't have to work. And we can just come and listen to you, and it'll be brilliant. Give us this bread. Like Moses did in the desert, you know, do the miracle again. Because you won't have to toil and we won't have to labor. Life will be easier. You will do what we want and you'll give us what we need. Give us this bread always. They thought they were asking for bread without work. But Jesus offers them bread without death. Life in all its fullness. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This is indeed the will of the Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. Give us this bread always, because we're hungry and we need to eat. But Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. That was really good. I'm the bread of life. Those who eat of this bread will die. Day in, day out, every loaf of bread we break, every time we eat, we declare our own needs, our limitations. Sometimes I'll come home and I'll say to Ines, my wife, who's German, this is important to know for this next bit, I'm starving. And she'll look at me and go, you are not starving. You may be hungry, but you are not starving. The Germans in the room will appreciate the need for precision in language. And then she looks at me again and goes, and you're definitely not starving. We think we know what we need. Sometime this week, you felt like you've not had exactly what you've needed. A better house, a better car, a better computer, a better phone, better lecturers and teachers, better pupils, better stuff, a better you, a better wife, a better husband, much better kids. We think we know what we need. And we come to Jesus, give us what I need. A life free of pain, a life free of sorrow, a life free of all these things. Give me what I need. And Jesus speaks into their need, their actual need, not their pretend need, but their real sense of need. Bread does not give life, he says. You'll eat it, but you'll die. It's the stuff of life. We need it every day. But no matter how much you eat, and sometimes because you've eaten too much, you'll die. Life is finite. And every day we have food that says, you will need more tomorrow. And Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. What we need is eternal life, and he is the only one who can feed us in a way that will give us eternal life. Death comes to all, you and I. Unless the Lord Jesus returns before we close our eyes in death, we will die. Many of us have been to funerals in these last few weeks and will be at some in the weeks ahead. Those boxes in front of us that contain the remains of our friends and loved ones, our family, they speak to us of our future destiny. Death comes to us all. And Jesus comes to everyone, offering what we need the most, the bread of life. Bread that actually gives life, not just sustains it. Bread that is life itself. You see, Jesus gets all confrontational. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. Wow, Jesus, could you just turn it down a bit? Could you speak in a way that won't offend people? You've got thousands of people here who really like you, who are kind of into you right now because you can do the bread and fish thing. And they've also heard about the wine stuff. That's the Anglicans, not the Baptists. That's the good stuff of miracles. Give us this stuff, Jesus. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not like that which your ancestors ate and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. He likens faith to feeding on him, his flesh and blood. Jesus knew what it takes for the bread of life to be broken and distributed to all who need it. He would have to be raised up on a cross and broken bodily for you. For us all, but for you. You want to know how much God has treasured you and loves you, then that's how much. His Son upon a cross. Do you want to know how serious sin really is in our lives? Then look at him upon the cross, broken for you. It's really offensive. Surely I'm not that bad, God. Surely you're just overstating the case a bit. Jesus prays, if there is any other way but this way, then take it from me. The God who parts seas and provides bread in the desert, who raises the dead, God who can do all things. Jesus says, Father, if there is any other way but the cross, then please go that other way. There is no other way by which we might be saved, no other name given under heaven by which we might be saved, because Jesus is the bread of life who has been broken for us. If you come, you must not come on your terms, with your ideas and your words, but on his. It is him alone who has given his life for you, and is him alone who can give life to you. This so shocked and scandalized the people on that day that thousands walked away. It's no less shocking today. No less confrontational. No less scandalous to us. You can't make demands of Jesus. I'll only trust you if this happens. We've all tried that bargain. And at times God has been merciful and acted to rescue us from the consequences of our own actions. And so we think somehow we have a hold over him. Like, if I escape this, God, then I'll be like this. Have you ever prayed like that? No one's putting their hands up to that one, eh? But probably we all have. I know I certainly have, particularly in my younger days. Oh God, I've been stupid. Again. Rescue me from this, and then I will do all these things. How foolish. I have nothing to offer God. I love the song that David sang and that we'll sing again. Before our God, we are undone. Words of Isaiah. I'm a man of unclean lips, of a people of unclean lips. I'm a man of unclean heart and mind and soul and body, in a world that is so broken that we need the Savior to be broken for us. When Moses stood before the burning bush, he knew that he was undone. Remove your sandals. You are on holy ground. Who shall I say sent me? I am, says God. Yahweh, I am, perfect tense through all time, I am. And Jesus stands in the spring with the people around him and says, I am the bread of life, and all who had ears to hear would see it. And when he teaches what it truly means, then thousands walked away that day, and he turns to the disciples and says, will you leave me as well? And Peter prays or says that which has become a prayer in my life so many times over my time in Christ. You have the words of eternal life. Where else do we go? We know and believe that you are the Holy One of God. Where else do you go? Do you go to shopping therapy to cheer yourself up? You know, when stuff's bad, buy yourself something pretty and nice or big and expensive. And you'll feel more powerful and more at peace. Do you turn to pornography to feed your heart and your life? Do you turn to food, to your wife, to your husband, to your children, to your family? Where do you turn? Eternal life is freely given and with great reward, but it will cost you everything, every last thing that you think you want, and will give you all that you need. Before our God, we are undone, but now in Jesus, we may come. There is no one like Jesus. There is nowhere else to go. Only God can offer what Jesus gives. Many of us have lived lives in these recent days and weeks where we don't look any different from the world around us. We think God's people are, yeah, it's like a social club I belong to. Jesus is a bit of an addition to life rather than the core of life at itself. Can you come with Peter and say, you have the words of eternal life. I believe and know that you are the Holy One of God, and ask him to give you the bread that gives life itself. Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. If you will not trust Jesus, you do not have life in its fullness or life at all, Jesus says. This is true of each one of us in this room and for everyone around us in every day. But those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. We're going to come and eat together and drink a meal that has been celebrated since that night that Jesus went into condemnation that we might go free of condemnation. Symbolic meal of bread and the cup. There'll be a gluten-free alternative for those who need that. As we distribute the elements in a moment, just raise your hand and somebody will bring the gluten-free alternative to you. But we come to these symbols knowing that they are for us an act of faith. You and I were not even worthy in Jesus' name to eat this if we're not in him. So if you're not a Christian this morning, let me encourage you just to let the elements pass you by. But if you want to take that step of faith for the first time, whether like that crowd on that day, you've known the story since you've grown up, whether you've come here week in, week out, but you know that somehow you are not trusting and have never trusted Jesus in that way that you say you have the words of eternal life, then take these elements. If you're ready to surrender everything you think you need so that he might give you everything you truly need, that's the basis on which we come this morning. Again, the Ramsey Home Group will come and distribute the elements. And as they do, I want us to pause. And in the silence of the moment, and it will be silence, no background music, nothing like that, just pause. And before our God, the Lord Jesus who calls you to himself, pause, speak to him. Express sorrow where you have replaced the hunger for him in your life with hunger for other stuff. Turn from that and turn to him again in faith. And once everyone has the elements, we'll stand and receive the elements together. So could I invite the Ramsey Home Group to come and distribute the elements, and we'll take this time to speak to Jesus in the quietness of this moment.